Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. Glad to have you with us. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. All right, I want to pivot just a little bit. I was in Denver last week, and I appreciate your flexibility with me while I took a little bit of time off to do some caregiving. Of course, this audience understands that profoundly. While we're down there, we met with two different surgical groups. Last year, Gracie had several operations, and one of them was the large one she had on her back, where they had to go in and reposition her spine because she had developed what they call flat back syndrome. She didn't have any curvature to her spine, and therefore she was bent over about 45 degrees. It was a big, big, big surgery. She also had to have a follow-up surgery to that, which because of a post-op infection, and then we've started the recovery process. She also had to have a screw taken out of her left femur where she broke her leg. She fell and broke her leg a year and a half ago. And not the part I can fix with duct tape and pliers, but it's, it was right above her knee, right above where her prosthesis hits. And she twisted and fell, and it's just one of those kind of things. I mean, Gracie has lived a pretty active life as an amputee. I mean, she's been snow skiing and horseback riding and four-wheeling and snowmobiling and everything else, but this is one of those kind of freak things. So they flew her to Billings, they fixed this, but the screw they put in there to anchor that rod in the femur was too long, and when she wore a prosthesis, it was too tight, and it was pinching her, it was stabbing her, it was pretty uncomfortable, so she couldn't walk very well. So we had that taken out in Denver from an ortho group down there, and everything was good. I told Gracie, said, we got to fix that flat tire. So we fixed that, and, well, I didn't fix it, but I got her down there. And they signed off, said, look, it's all healed up. Now, the recovery process, you still have to kind of work it, physical therapy and so forth. We understand that. The neurosurgeon, however, looking at her back, the disc above where the fusion stopped is collapsing, and it's causing it quite a bit of pain. The technical term is called PJK, proximal junctional kyphosis. And what they're going to do is go up over the curve that she now has in her back and fuse more, anchor it more with rods and so forth to the thoracic area. And then that should straighten her back all the way. She's still been over enough that it's a problem. And then 6 months after that surgery is completed, then the ortho surgeons will go back in and do what they call a hip flexor release, because she's been sitting in a wheelchair, bent over, hasn't been able to stand up straight, and her hip flexors got really tight. Okay, that's the bad news. All of that is happening, and I wanted to give you all that update because that's going to involve me being in and out quite a bit over the next several months. The good news is the neurosurgeon told us this, look, this is a complication that comes from about 20% of the patients that have the kind of surgery that Gracie did last January. And we know exactly what to do with it. Now, why is that important? Well, certainly it's important so somebody knows what they're doing. This is not one of those unexpected things, but for so much of Gracie's journey, we heard, we've never seen this before, or this is a first, or all those kinds of things. And the vast majority of her surgeries that she's had were done to save her legs following her wreck. They were done to try to nobody wanted this 17-year-old girl to wake up and find her legs gone. And this is back in 83. And then the subsequent surgeries after that, trying to save these legs. Well, prosthetics took a huge turn in the 90s and really started becoming the state-of-the-art things that we see today. When she lost her right leg, she started off with this thing called a flex foot that was, brand new, where you had this energy-storing carbon fiber feet and so forth. Nowadays, that protocol would probably be a lot different. The advancements in prosthetics are such that removing a terribly damaged limb that really is beyond repair, doesn't have quite the same impact because of prosthetics, you can get back up and start living a pretty functional life. But we didn't have that opportunity at the time, and nobody really knows the pain you're saved from. They only know the pain you have. And the thought of giving up her legs was horrific to Gracie and everyone involved, and we've talked about that on this program. But there was this mindset, a philosophical mindset of let's try this. And in the process, Gracie is in the shape she's in today because of a lot of that. I'm not placing blame on surgeons, Gracie, me, or anybody else. I'm just saying this is what it is. Hindsight is always 20/20. So what have we learned from this? Well, I've come to understand that when it comes to caring for Gracie, the plan of care has to be partnered with the philosophy of care. Now, let me explain. Gracie is in chronic pain. She has severe pain all the time. Not a day without it since 1983. She can get out of pain today, right now. But she would be so sedated or so anesthetized or so numb that she couldn't function. So you have to have a philosophy. Okay, what is the goal here? Is the goal to get her out of pain? Well, that's not possible and have any kind of meaningful life. So she has to learn to cope with the pain and deal with it. That's the philosophy part of this. How do I do this? Well, the same thing with surgical approach with her. And she's had so many of them, and we've been to this well. She's an orthopedic train wreck. And so, and that's not my words. Those are, she's at the far end of complex orthopedic trauma. And so you have to have a philosophical approach to this. Okay, what is the best thing to do overall for Gracie, the wholeness of the person? And so when I had this conversation with the neurosurgeon, I was very encouraged that he was thinking the same way, that we don't just try something, that we have this thing mapped out before she ever shows up at the hospital. Okay, so that's, I mean, as much as possible. I mean, there's always something that can go awry, but you're not just hoping for the best. You're going in there with a very detailed plan of this is exactly what we're going to do. So when they took that screw out of her femur, they knew exactly what to do and how to get it done and what to expect. It was all laid out. This was not, you know, we're going to try this. So that's the approach we're taking with this. Now, we can look back over our life, and I think this is where we as caregivers can identify, and we spend a lot of time here, quite truthfully. We're hoping for a better past, you know? You ever felt like that you're hoping for a better past? But the past is what it is. It's happened. Here's where we are. Here's what's happened. Now, what are we going to do about it? And we can sit there and commiserate over the trauma. We can sit there and just weep and gnash our teeth and by the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept kind of thing. We can do that. Or we can set our face forward like Flint and just say, you know, this is where we are going. We know where we've been. We know what's happened. And we see it for what it is. We accept it for what it is. We don't agree with it. We don't have to like it. We're not required to like it. But accepting it is the hardest part for us sometimes as human beings. I think that's part of the human condition. And now we're going to have tears about this. You and I both know this. All right? We got tears aplenty. And it will be hard, and it will be difficult and painful, certainly for Gracie and for me as well. She's really making me brush up on a lot of my nursing skills, and that's just the way it is. Now, what are our options? She cannot not do this. There are dire consequences if she doesn't do it, and there are challenging events if she does. This is the life of so many of you all as caregivers. What do you do? And this is not a moral decision. where we're going to sin one way or the other. We are getting the best advice and we're making the decision. But even if the decision proves something, you know, unexpected happens or whatever, it's not a sin issue. It's really important for me to understand that, for Gracie to understand it, and for the rest of us to have that conversation. Because I think that sometimes so many people want to put pressure on us when we make these kinds of decisions. Well, if you had enough faith, or if you would just do this, or if you would go to this preacher, if you go to this, or if you would, you know, send money to this guy, you know, whatever. And that kind of stuff is really bondage. That's not faith. That's ritual. That's legalism. That's dysfunction. Faith is saying, I trust that God is already waiting for Gracie in the hospital in Denver for that surgery. He's already there. That's faith. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me doth plead, as the hymn says. And this did not come easily to either one of us. But this is our life. And we're not going to, okay, we'll get through this surgery and then we'll get on with our life. No, this is our life. And I can resent it. I can rail against it. I can cuss, fuss, and holler, cry, scream, everything else. Been there, done that. It's not going to change anything. So I turn into it and accept it. Gracie turns into it and accepts, this is where I am. This is what I have to live with, and I will trust him in it. Corrie ten Boom once said about trusting an unknown future to a known God. There is no way that Gracie and I could stand firm in this if we didn't know God. Not as much as we'd like to know him, but we know him a lot more than we did back in the 1980s. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. That's what the hymn says. Finish it with me. 'Twas grace that brought us thus far, and grace will lead Gracie home. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back.